No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I'm in here with Teddy. How you feeling, Ted?
Feeling good, man.
Feeling good, feeling great.
Feeling great.
That's excellent, man. Yeah, I think I met you for the first time on that Fat Nick and Bexy tour. Was that was the first time I actually met?
First time, yeah. In LA and Boston.
Because a lot of times now I interview people and they're like, oh, yeah, like I met you like a million times before you met me and remembered me. And
yeah, no, that's the first time for sure.
Oh, yeah, in Boston too. I forgot
Boston
about that.
Too. Yep.
Where I flagrantly missed the entire show and showed up like as it was ending.
Yeah, I just saw you at the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see you at the show.
True.
I was eating pizza.
We weren't even doing any cool, like, deviant hotel behavior either.
Right, it was clean.
No tour stuff. We were just like eating chips and like smoking a blunt in the parking lot.
Yep, not even inside. can't get that fine, you know what I mean?
It's no,
tax season out here.
You ever get one of those in the hotel?
Yeah, definitely a couple of them.
I got one in the Trump Hotel in Vegas.
That's not good.
No, it was terrible. They came up to the room. I was faded as fuck. I didn't even like realize that I had done something bad by smoking weed in the room.
Yeah, no, Trump will get you on that one.
Trump will. We thought it was funny, like a meme, to like stay at the Trump Hotel, and then we got a fine, and then all of a sudden it wasn't so funny anymore.
Yeah, no, run from that. Just gotta run.
So, where are you from again?
New York.
New York, right? I forgot. Yeah. From Long Island?
From the city.
From the city, where?
Yeah, downtown Soho.
Really?
Born and raised, man.
Whoa, that's crazy. So, what are your parents like?
My dad, which is a old, like, Jewish, Long Island, normal New York, and my mom's like Swedish, doesn't speak English.
Okay, what do they do though? I feel like if you live in downtown Manhattan, then you have to be doing something in your life. You can't be a janitor.
Nah, definitely not. My dad just did an insurance shit. I don't even know what it is. Sold insurance or something, made it work. And my mom was just my mom. She didn't do anything. She used to model and shit, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Miss Sweden at some point. I don't know what year.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, like, but I was reading about you and it said that you had like you were super immersed in music from a young age. Like, you were always around it.
Definitely always listened to it. My uncle was in a punk band, Marshall Rocks.
Right, yeah.
From Sweden. So, always around it, you know, going to his shows whenever he was in the States. And just my mom, dad. So, my dad listened to Luther Vandross.
Really? That was his key artist?
Always.
My mom
always.
Was like super into Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
So, I always have a crazy soft spot for him.
Yeah, no, my dad's like 75, so he's a big Luther guy.
Really?
Big R&B soul.
So you were going to punk shows at like a really young age?
Yeah. I actually watched, I don't know what year, but my uncle opened for like Blink-182.
Really?
In New York. It was crazy.
Holy shit.
Crazy.
And it was at a time where you knew how important Blink-182 were?
Nah, not necessarily, but it was at a time where watching that live, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
You feel right. me? Yeah. And they were so overwhelming live too, because the Travis experience just takes things to a whole nother level with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Okay. Do you don't have any like memories from when you were young going to punk shows? Like,
probably just crazy wondering what the smell was the whole time. The smell of weed and odors.
What?
Helicopter.
That was a helicopter.
They're coming for you.
At first, I thought it was somebody just dragging a garbage can across the ground or something, and then I realized that we were actually going to be bombed.
No, we said Trump too many times.
We did, yeah. He said a team over to take care of us. Wait, so just the smell, that was like the
just
offensive
like
thing too?
Just like alcohol everywhere. The smell of hard liquor and weed and cigarettes.
That's the smell of hard living right there.
Yeah,
you so
exactly.
don't. You're not ready for it.
I was like,
kid.
What, mom? What's the smell? She's like, no, it's just from, you know, a lot of people.
Holy
shit. A lot
shit.
Of people.
That is so funny because there are so many things that are like. I remember the first time I was walking down the street in DC with my parents and I heard like a dude just talking with like heavy, heavy slang and like a real crazy accent, like locally. And I just, I knew that it was like something cool. To be able to talk like that.
But you didn't know why.
It was so far removed from like the way that I had grown up speaking that it was just like I had never heard anything like it. And it got me really energized to figure out what the hell that guy was talking about.
Yeah, but the new generation has YouTube to look at those videos, you know?
Now slang is like completely like globalized. Like whenever there's a cool new slang term that comes out, like when I seen Young Thug saying slat and he just kept saying it.
No cap.
No cap is another one. But Thug just kept saying slat. Yeah. Until eventually I was like, all right, yeah, slat. Like, that's a real thing now. And now I hear little kids say it. Like, it's nothing.
My little brother, bro. He's like 13, 14.
He's dropping slat. And bro, I still haven't figured out what it means.
Every DaBaby song, all that stuff.
Mm.
Rapping it to me before I even heard it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
DaBaby is like the unexpected new, like, champion of the young kid crowd.
Yeah.
I seen a video of like a 5-year-old doing his dance. Like.
Yeah, the Thrillers and TikToks.
Yes, it is the Thrillers of the TikToks. Were you ever on those?
Dude, I've been trying to figure out how to make it work. Like, I don't even know how to use it.
Really?
I've been trying so hard.
I downloaded
especially
a trailer
unreleased
and I
music. You know what I'm saying? I want to make it, but I don't know how to drag the files. And everyone's like, oh, you can make it on GarageBand. It's like, no, I don't know how to do
it. Just give
that
them
shit.
The little snippet of your song, like, through the TikTok.
I'm just trying to, you know.
That's like the universal dance.
I can't
dance
do it yet,
now.
Man. One day.
Okay. So what about like your what you were like as a kid? Like, how were you behaved? Were you in that Manhattan school system?
Dude, I was always getting in trouble. Just, you know, not behaving mm-hmm. when I was supposed to. And yeah, I hate school. Hated school. Still do hate school. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't for me. You know what I mean?
Were you consumed with music from an early age? Did you know that you were going to be a creative?
Oh, not at all. Not even until like 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
I was super just not knowing what the fuck I was going to do at any point in life.
So what were you like doing after school? Would you go hang out at the skate park? Would you just sit around your room?
I surfed growing up a lot. I used to be a competitive surfer. I was like 2 in the Northeast when I was like 15. And yeah, that ended before high school. It was either like go to school or don't go to school. Do homeschooling. My mom wasn't for that.
New York City, not probably the ideal place to live if you want to be a surfer.
But Long Island, Montauk, right. Long Beach. I mean, you can get better waves there than anywhere in the world at the right time.
That's true. I've been to all those beaches too because I used to like take trips out there when I lived there.
Yeah, yeah. Some legendary waves.
That's true. But Coney Island, catch some waves at Coney Island. Yeah.
You don't want to be in that water though. You might come out with some crazy right. diseases.
I used to go there and cut my feet open on like broken Corona bottles.
Sounds like an awful, terrible idea.
Sit on the train with sand all in the cut and shit.
Oh, God.
Ugh, that was a real part of my life at one point.
Listen, look where you are now, man.
Oh yeah,
not on Coney Beach.
Now I can afford flip flops.
Look at those slides.
Ain't nobody cutting these feet. Yeah, slats. Okay, so how do you? So you graduated from sort of surfing. Was that your passion for a while? Do you think you were going to be pro?
Okay, so this is the thing. I'm sure it's the same with BMX and skating. Like we all think we're going to be a pro, right? When we're young enough to think we're going to be pro. Then you get to like 14 and you're like, you get out into the like the world and you're like, damn, all the kids in California, Hawaii, like mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's just a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I definitely realized that at that point, and it's kind of why. I just the competitive factor of it took away the fun, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to surf when it's good and not revolve my life around it because these kids out here are killing it.
Because if you want to get serious about that shit, it's probably so intensive. They probably got you training eight hours a day.
It's like training camps. Like, oh, it's like tutors for surfing, you know what I mean? There's like 100 different people, trainers, and it's like you're 13. It's surfing.
Yeah.
Surf is not supposed to be this.
Sports always become like that, though, too, because like now they have BMX in the Olympics, and all of a sudden it's like you got motherfuckers talking about their meal prep and like all their training.
Their keto diets.
Yeah, the wheatgrass shots, all that shit. Yep. That's so crazy, yeah. Okay, so were you always making music, or when did that sort of start to seep in?
I started making music when I was 19.
Okay.
Just on some literally like my parents wouldn't want me smoking in the house. We had to find somewhere to smoke. You know what I'm saying?
The studio?
Yeah, so I was like, listen, we see all these fucking rappers in the studio smoking weed. So we found a cheap-ass studio in the South Bronx. Went there for like $10 an hour. Not even realizing at the time what the set, we know what was good over there.
Yeah.
So we pulled up, me and all my friends, and we would just smoke weed, make music, fuck around, and then like...
And they had a open-door policy for weed in the South Bronx studio?
I feel like at that point, it was the open-door policy for just about anything.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess if you go to the Bronx, like, yeah.
I remember the guy's name, Maui.
Maui.
Maui was his name. Maui Wowie.
That's a sketchy name.
Right? It's like he wanted me to trust him though with everything.
Wow, that's fucking crazy. So was that was a productive experience? Did you start like figuring out that you had some kind of talent there?
It was just on some like high as fuck, having a good time. Heard autotune for the first time and was like, wait a second. What's really good with that? You feel me? Because it's like, I sound like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not having found a sound or ever made music, but like that kind of sounds cool. And then one thing led to another. Dying over here. Yeah, bro, it was just we needed a place to smoke every night.
Mm-hmm.
And Maui got a good discount. So
there was nobody involved in this that we would know or anything?
Not,
it was
not,
just your
not
local
at
friends?
That point. At that point, it was no one.
Okay.
And then I took it seriously. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
Started actually making what I wanted to do. Came out to California. And then it all started, you know, coming together.
Who did you meet out in California that started to
it all together? I met McConan in 2015 on some partying shit.
Really?
Yeah, just randomly like.
See, kids, that's why you got to go out and drink and do drugs.
Exactly.
Because you'll meet somebody that'll like connect
I
you
met
in
McConan.
The world, you know?
He was with like Ass Pizza, Kerwin, and all those guys from New York.
That's the crew right there.
And yeah, I was at like Red Bull Studios and I was like, damn, this shit's crazy. And I played him the first song I made,
uh-huh.
McConan. And McConan at the time was like, that was prime, you know what I'm
right.
saying?
He
like, that was Tuesday, like going
hot,
crazy.
Yeah.
Not that he isn't, because he's the GOAT.
He's still
literal
the man,
GOAT.
But he got ate alive by the industry. He's just trying to work it back now.
Man, I don't know about any of that shit. But, bro, where were we? I'm high as fuck.
So you meet McConan at this party.
I meet McConan. I show him the first song I made in the studio. And he's like, listen, like, it's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But his old, like, manager homie, like, Marcus, was like, yo, just play it, bro. He doesn't care. It's McConan. I was like, all right, play it. I'm, like, sitting there shaking. He's like, I actually fuck with it. And I was like, really? All right, cool. So then I went back from that night and just kept making music. And then later down the road, I moved out to LA and McCone just happened to be like the first person I link with. Mm-hmm. So then we were living together with a couple homies and making music every day. And like, that's the point I found my sound to where I thought was my sound. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
But that's when I was taking it seriously.
And what would you describe your sound as being at the time as opposed to now?
At the time, it was just like me studying everything. So I was just, it was a lot of sounding like other people, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And just like trying to figure out what sound was natural to me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it was all over. It was from me trying to sound like Travis Scott to trying to sound like, well, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like everything. And then it's just like throughout that bandwagon, I just like found to where I felt was a pocket that I was comfortable in, you know, mm. that seemed somewhat natural just to like what I grew up listening to.
Were you just rapping when you were still in New York?
Yeah. But like, yeah, trying to.
And then you met McCone and you were like, nah, I got to get in touch with my soft
side. I was like, I just need to, you know, be true to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, for sure. Yeah. I feel like a lot of kids these days got to go through that. They everybody has like an early stage where they're just rapping about shooting you in the face with a gun exactly. or something.
I mean, I definitely do have a song like that. And then I listened back and was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Nah.
There's a lot.
It's not it, Chief.
There's so many. Like someday, like 10 years from now, like Lil Blurry's going to be winning a Grammy, and he's still going to be having to deal with the fact that his first song was him talking about drinking lean, and he was like 13.
Exactly. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
So,
but now we got horses in the back.
How you feel about that wave?
I love it.
You going to get a cowboy hat?
I love it. I love it so much.
I just want to know what comes after this for him.
Dude, I hope it's more country.
Yeah.
You feel me?
But that's actually a really good strategic question. Like,
I heard that it's not, though.
What?
I heard that that was just like one of the country ones.
Yeah, but like if you were his A&R, like would you be like, nah, you got to go full country?
Next song is with Carrie Underwood, and you know what I mean? Just run it completely.
The dude from Hootie and the Blowfish, he needs to like elevate him.
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember Hootie and the Blowfish? No. They were just like a like folk country type group, but the dude, Darius Rucker, was the singer, and he's black dude. So I feel like... But people don't know this, but there are like a lot of poppin' new country singers who are black and shit. Country is being rapified, to an extent.
Yeah.
At the same time, that maybe, but that rap is becoming countrified.
Yeah,
it's like a weird moment in time where
the horses
sort of
in the back is the perfect. So, you know, the perfect spot in between.
I mean, I still have that song stuck in my head. I was telling my girlfriend this morning because I was singing it. I was like, you know, you're gonna find out about that song in a couple of weeks.
She hasn't found out about
it. She's not clued in like that. She's not really paying attention.
Dude, I'm not even clued in like that, to be honest with you. That found me like the first day.
That song's hard to avoid right now.
Yeah.
It's a fact. You gonna hop on the remix?
Nah. But I fuck with it.
Secret right there.
Maybe I do one for myself.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. Did you meet Peep through McConan during that time?
Yeah, so I met Peep the first day they started recording the Peep McConan project out in L.A. was the first time we met through McConan.
Wow, the first day.
Yeah.
What was the vibe like during those studio sessions?
Bro, it was lit. Unexplainable, you know? It was magic.
And they had just met and they were just hitting it off on a crazy level?
I think
level.
They had met like previously, you know, but like never been locked in like that.
Uh-huh.
It was magic, bro.
And what was that like for you as somebody who was not really familiar with seeing artists work in the studio, like especially people who are so established? Like,
it was crazy because I didn't even know who Peep was the first time we met.
Right.
Conan was just like, yo,
this is early.
Yeah, it's early. And it just took me waiting to hear him in the booth. And I was like, whoa, he's on some other shit. You feel me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that coming from listening to rock shit. You know what I mean? On some like he's in the studio with McConan doing that. It's like, damn, what's really good?
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. So and McConan just doing McConan.
How'd you end up getting a song with Peep, though? Was that during that session?
Yeah, no, not that initial. I mean, it was like a 3-week, 4-week period that we were in the same studio every night.
Really? They were just recording nonstop?
Bro, nonstop.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was like within the first 2 weeks, a random point, Peep had heard, he was like living at our crib at that point. And he just heard Nightmares, which is not out yet. And he really fucked with it and was like, yo, I want to hop on that. I was like, bet. He hopped on it in the studio. We were vibing out.
Uh-huh.
Went back the next day, was recording at the crib, and I made Fairy Tale Dreams and Nightmares, which is the part one. And he just heard it the second day after that. The studio was like, bro, I got to go down, you know?
Right.
Just on it.
So, but part two, you say it's not out, but it is.
Nah.
Technically, it has leaked, right?
I mean, I don't know. It's some of this. I've seen it.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
I mean, I listened to it yesterday on YouTube. It might not have been the best quality upload, but.
Yeah. No, it leaks on some random shit.
You don't know how it leaked or anything?
Nah.
Like an angry ex-girlfriend or something?
Dude, maybe.
It could be.
I've been getting way too many tattoos named on me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That could definitely happen too.
Yeah, so maybe.
I'm really proud to say I don't have any girls' names on me at this point
really?
In my life.
Well, or you covered them.
Exactly. They got covered up.
You're hiding the Adam.
There's a couple in there.
Just gotta let it go.
Actually. There's a name peeking out somewhere. I forget where shit is.
Exposed.
I really have no idea where. Okay. I honestly can't remember what tattoo I'm thinking of or what the girl's name was. But okay. So yeah, that whole session. So like, did that kind of change the perspective that you had on your music as well?
Oh, it changed me forever. I literally like owe so much for those three sessions just being around that.
Uh-huh.
It helped me it helped me so much deeper than music, you feel me? On some like seeing two people just be so comfortable with themselves, you feel me? Just like knowing who they are.
Uh-huh.
And it's like seeing that was coming just, it was, dude, like I say, it was magical, bro. It was like, I couldn't even explain what it was.
Yeah, that's like the vibe.
It's forever changing.
Whenever I hear about those sessions with those two, that does just, because I feel like those two guys, McConan and Peep, are two people who are just so genuine, so pure,
yeah,
so really not ready for all the bullshit of the music industry that was like about to be thrown at
nor
them.
Nor do they, you know, care.
Not even
it's just not even a thought about it, bro. Like
just
in the
too
studio,
pure for that world.
Like most studio sessions I've been to, it's just like, oh, everyone's talking shit and everyone's doing that. It's like, no, this was real, like music.
Yeah,
being made, you know,
and
what
like
I mean?
A real like manifestation of their friendship and giving a shit about each other too. Huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Damn, that's crazy. So, were you guys getting fucked up in the studio?
We had good times. It was fun.
Yeah, well, that's good. So, what you leave that environment, or like, where would you say you were at on your like musical path at that point? Anyway,
at that point, I was like had some songs out on SoundCloud. I had remixed Under the Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and it hit like a million plays on SoundCloud in like 2 weeks.
Really?
Right, and then it got taken down, obviously,
uh-huh.
which was kind of the goal of it, to just get Anthony to kind of hear it.
Right.
Which I heard later on the road, he did hear it and personally got it taken down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was fucking dope.
That's crazy as fuck.
I achieved the goal with that song, but that one was the first thing that was like kind of popping on just on SoundCloud.
Okay.
Yeah, it hit like number like 3 or something on like the hot new chart or some shit. I was hyped.
Wow, that was fucking crazy.
Just SoundCloud stuff.
What about that Rich the Kid feature? Was that mixed in there somewhere at some point?
Yeah, somewhere, bro. Rich is so funny, bro. We just linked in New York on some like being in the same studio and him being a character.
Uh-huh.
But it was a while ago too, bro. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, right?
That
was
over before 2 years.
The McConan thing and the peep shit.
Before all that, yeah, long before.
Wow.
Yeah, that was on some like random me just going to one of those studios and him having just been there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
I think
you stole the verse or something?
No, not at all. I definitely paid for it, but it was definitely, I'm not going to even say the amount because I don't think anyone would like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was too much or not enough?
Definitely not too much, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could see Rich the Kid like being in a certain state of mind in the studio and just being like, yeah.
He's a businessman, bro. He's a CEO.
Yeah. There's a reason he's done so many goddamn features with so many people over the years. He's just figuring
but,
out
but
how
it,
to get in there.
But it actually turned into something that was natural. You feel me? Because we ended up chilling a lot after that.
Oh, that's what's up.
And we shot a video for it, never dropped it or anything. But
really?
He's like, actually, yeah, no, he was definitely one of the first people I met in the industry, like on that shit.
So it was not that long after the McConan and Peep sessions that he passed, right? It was only a few months.
It must have been like 5 months.
Okay.
Some shit, 4 months.
How'd you find out?
My homie, when my manager called me and just told me what happened. And it was, yeah.
How'd you feel? Mm-hmm. Crushed?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even like, it's beyond crushed, you feel me?
Mm.
Just having been there, you know what I mean? And just like, he brought me out in New York on the Come Over Sober tour in New York on his birthday to perform Nightmares.
Uh-huh.
And so I had just seen him, you know what I mean? So It was awful.
No, yeah, it was just such a like hard time. I actually saw somebody reposted a video of me talking about it on my Instagram story or something like right after it happened the other day. And I had really kind of forgotten how sad I was and how fucked up in the head that made me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's affected a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Is that how you sort of got looped into the Bexy and Fat Nick thing and you ended up going on tour with them and stuff?
Yeah, I mean it was looped. Like I had like FaceTime, you know, Fat Nick on the phone, like, well, like, I had met him on FaceTime when Peep was on FaceTime one time type shit.
Uh-huh.
And then we had met just speaking through, you know, after all that shit, just going through it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, even though we haven't really met, like, we're going, you know, the shit's hard for everybody, bro. So
we
just linked through that, and then Nick moved to LA and we started chilling. So over his house, started making music and shit and just smoking and chilling. And yeah. And then he was just like, yo, you wanna go on tour? I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't even really got music out, but I'll put some out.
How was that experience overall?
Dude, it was amazing. It's a good time. It's just Bexy and Nick on for 2 months.
Yeah.
Going across America, you know, you can't.
A lot of people would think that those would be two pretty weird fucking people to spend 2 months with.
We were walking, you know what I mean?
Scheme's like, normal.
scheme. Yeah, yeah.
Compared to them, so it's pretty
compared
normal.
To them. Yeah. But they're normal too, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
You feel
yeah.
me? Like, you know them.
No, they're pretty normal.
They're normal when you think about it. Like, and then the day it could just be another guy on Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, people see him on Twitter and stuff. Like, if you were to just look at a picture of Fat Nick and Bexy and you didn't even know any, if you didn't know anything about rap, you would look at them and be like,
no context,
what the fuck is going on with them?
Yeah.
But, you know, then you actually meet them, they're not too out of the ordinary.
You know, people think what they want.
I mean, they're definitely special.
They're definitely special, you know, and they express themselves, and that's who they are. Mm. So in my mind, it's like, it's beautiful, bro.
Were you living the party life on tour, or were you living the low key life?
I was living the half. I'm just with going with the flow, bro. I'm just chilling, you know. Definitely drinking water.
Water is a must.
You know, knowing being close to McConan, I'm reminded every day. Mm. Got to drink my water. So
I'll try to do at least
definitely
a gallon
on tour. I drank more water than ever.
Mm.
Very hydrated.
Sleep and water.
Sleep, water, good gas.
Eggs,
chickens.
Weed for sure.
Definitely weed.
Do you have any locations on tour where you couldn't get weed?
Nah.
No, it didn't happen.
No, we're good.
I was just in Japan and Australia, so.
Yeah, you gotta be careful over there.
It's just impossible to
fucking get it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In my mind,
it's trash.
Australia, I feel like you get it, but Japan, it's just not, you know?
Japan,
it's like, it's disrespectful to the culture. And I respect their culture enough.
They just don't know what the fuck's going on with weed out there. They're not. They don't have it. They don't know about it. They're not interested.
I'm sure you could get some bootleg Jungle Boys.
You could. I mean, anybody could put a pound in their check bag and get it through. It's just, do you want to take the risk? You know.
Yeah. But dude, I have. I can't even fly. I mean, now I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Just
I definitely
say
fly with weed. You know what I'm saying, all the time now, especially with that new law that passed or some shit.
In the States, it's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I've had friends being like, oh, bro, I'm going to Indonesia for the weekend, and it's fucking like, I'm bringing a pound. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you crazy, bro? Like, right. People get killed there for that shit, like publicly, executed.
Yeah. That shit is
100 years in prison.
I remember I went to, like, Barcelona, to the Bangladesh, to, like, I was just in all these different, world like, crazy-ass airports, and then by the end of the trip, I realized that I had, like, a fucking little bag of weed shoved deep in my checked bag.
Do you smoke it?
Well, after, yeah, sure. But, I mean, I just realized I had been through, like, a lot of the worst possible airports that you can go through for weed.
Well, that's the whole point. If you don't know it's there, you're all good, you know? Because it's not a problem. It's the mental.
I would have loved
to. Is it worth it mentally?
I would have loved to try to get that argument through to.
Yeah, in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Trust me, this shit's totally fine. I'm going to be good. Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Your officer. Please don't worry about it. Yeah, okay. So you have this new EP that I was listening to. Or you already have an EP out that Smoke a Sack actually produced the whole thing. That's very important.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But I was listening to the new unreleased LP or EP.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a project, album, whatever it is. It's a good collection.
So the one with Smoke a Sack, we should talk about that first. How did that come about?
It just it came naturally because basically, at some point, Pete was on tour with Smoke.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that Pete was super particular about who Smoke worked with, you know what I'm saying? Because they really had their shit together. So it was like, basically, Pete was like, yo, told Smoke I want you to work with Teddy. So at that point, he sent me a beat, and I got a Smoke a Sack beat, and I was so happy. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God. And I recorded that, and that was a long time ago. And then everything happened, and we just, you know, over time, just linked up, and he felt it was right. I felt, you know,
he was on that tour, but only for a couple of days or something.
I don't know.
He came, but I mean the tour that you were on. Smoke was on the LA tour date, but was it just date?
I feel like he came one other place.
Because he came out and did his solo stuff as well.
Yeah, it was LA.
Yeah.
LA, yeah.
Okay.
Smoke's music fire too.
So who produced this new project?
It's like a collection of people. One of my homies from, I've never met, he's a YouTube producer, but he actually does most of my stuff now. This guy Diddy Beats, the guitarist.
So he was a type beat guy?
Justin, literally a type beat guy, bro.
He was doing little Pete type beats and now
bro,
all of a sudden,
not even, bro. Nightmares, Dreams and Nightmares originally were like post Travis Scott type beats.
Really?
On YouTube. And then we ended up linking up because of that randomly. So then it became a non-type beat.
There's no shame in the game.
No, like, not at all. Most of my good songs I first made when I was like first making music were all type beats.
Right.
You can find your sound through that shit, bro. You run through so much stuff.
There's so many kids watching this right now who are like feeling better about themselves because
type beats are the way to go. I still look at type beats. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of my favorite things to do when we have somebody in here and we're on stream and we just type in like, you know, whatever type beat and just see what comes up.
No auto-tune freestyles.
Yeah. Basically, you think we need to get auto-tune on these mics?
I'm telling you, bro.
To the whole interview
just
like that?
Just do it. Yeah, the whole one. On a couple, just the random ones, you know what I'm saying?
It'd be so fire.
Like, if Yachty's here, bro, he should be talking auto-tune. That'd be fire.
That's a good point. Man, we just found out that Yachty wrote that City Girls song. You
I know,
about
I saw that.
That.
Is I saw that crazy? That's dope, though.
I just was so surprised that he came out and just talked about it. Because there's so many things like that where I know of a certain rapper who wrote such and such a song, and they will never talk about it, even though it would be huge news if they talked about it. But no they matter. Signed contracts yeah. and shit.
Bro, in the end of the day, the song's hard, and if I made it, you know what I mean? Like, he's proud of that. It's dope.
I honestly think it's kind of weird that nobody really seems to, like, give a shit that, like, girls are just allowed to have people write their songs because, like, everybody acted like Drake had, like, burned somebody's house down when they found out that he didn't write a fucking hook.
Who?
Drake.
Oh.
You heard about Drake?
Yeah, yeah. He's dope.
Popular Canadian Good MC. Guy. Good guy. Popular light-skinned MC. Okay, and so yeah.
And also I would say producers on the shit. Josu, my boy too, helped me produce a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And his boy Mason, yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. What how would you compare the sound on this one to the Smoke one?
It doesn't even compare, to be honest. I mean, yeah, of course it like compares, but it's just genuinely this is the first project I felt I genuinely found my sound.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't really sound like anything else and I'm really proud of it. I'm pouring my heart into it. And yeah, it's just me, bro. It's literally self-titled. It's called Teddy.
Okay.
The whole it's literally, it doesn't get more. It's me than it.
And yeah. I saw that the intro just came out. That's what you chose to do for the first music video?
Yeah.
And it's got 500K and you're not in it?
Nah.
How's that? What was the artistic vision with that?
It's a movie, bro. it will all make sense soon.
What, like additional visuals from the rest of it?
Yeah, I mean, just my brother Gunnar Zubin and I like where I'm at. My homies, we've been making all the videos, and it will all make sense. It definitely is deeper than people think.
Because I've seen the same little kid in like multiple different videos, yeah. And I was curious about that. Like, is this kid just hanging out with you all the time, or?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But. Him, he's a professional actor.
Oh. Okay.
His mother is an awesome person who's been super helpful throughout all this.
Oh, wow.
And he's actually a fucking star, in my opinion.
Really?
Like, bro, I've never seen a 5-year-old who's just being so on point.
He's five?
Five.
Wow.
Yeah, kindergarten.
That is crazy.
Loves the tats. He didn't even let his mom wash him off.
Really?
Or anything. He kept him on for a week, went to baseball practice with them.
Wow.
He's a legend.
I have a 5-year-old nephew, and I'm constantly freaked out when I see 5-year-olds who are, like, doing more than him. Like... like when I like realize that there are like 5-year-olds with like acting careers and shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even know how that shit happens, but it does.
And then the other day I saw some like little video of like a 3-year-old reading, and I was like, my fucking, this kid is 5 and a half and he is definitely not reading. Like, yeah. No way.
Bro, this world's a crazy place.
Yeah. That's what's up. So shit, what else do you got planned for the rest of the year and shit?
Damn, just a lot of music. A lot of music, a lot of videos, just more finding myself, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And helping express that to the world, and just that, man. Just a lot of shit.
Where do you record at right now? Just in the crib?
At the crib a lot, and then there's this place called Temple Bass. It's really chill. I go there sometimes, but I don't really like studios, honestly.
Really?
I really like the crib.
What kind of vibe do you like? Are you like alone, and you like have a lot of people around, or?
Nah, bro. I used to do like when I used to start. I used to have like fucking all the homies around, like 20 people there, and it's like, dude, it's not. You can't do anything, like no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's like nowadays, it's like just me, a homie or two, and like an engineer. We run through it.
Oh, that's what's up.
Just keep it chill.
Hell yeah. So yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming through.
I appreciate everything, Adam. Yeah, you're a legend.
Hi, am I really?
You really are, bro. Honestly, I've been wanting to come on here for a long time.
That's fucking fire,
I looked up to this shit when I was coming, you know?
I'm wondering how you feel with the fucking big-ass jacket on you right now, because I'm going to admit I'm kind of sweating right
now. Dude, I'm good. I don't sweat, actually.
You really don't?
I swear.
It's like really hard for
you
to get a sweat
going. I
swear.
It might be my Swedish blood. I don't know what it is, but I don't sweat.
You're telling me that if you you ran for a half hour.
I mean, if I'm running, that's
eventually you'll start sweating. Yeah.
At some point, but like walking around on a hot day in LA with a jacket and a beanie, high as fuck, I'm not sweating.
Dude, you're so lucky. I've talked to like fashion dudes who have just been like, yeah, I don't sweat. I could be rocking
just
a trench coat
like
in the middle of a super hot party.
You think Thug sweats when he's wearing his shit?
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's
but
that,
he's
that
so
high
skinny.
Fashion.
He's so skinny. When you have no fat on you, it's going to be tough to fucking sweat.
Are you saying I'm fat?
No, but you're pretty skinny,
chubby.
Too. I can't really
chubby.
Tell, to
I
be
love
honest.
McDonald's. That's why.
You do? That's what you eat?
Bro, you don't even know. You don't even know.
What? That's
you
that's,
don't even know.
Your poison is McDonald's.
Not even poison, bro. That's what I go to. You
that's
know?
God's gift.
That's God's gift to me, man.
Right.
You know?
Wow, man. Yeah.
2 cheeseburgers, 10-piece, sweet and sour sauce.
Hey, man.
You can't get it.
I
can't
eat Bossa
get it better,
Nova.
Man. Bossa Nova's fire.
That's like, I can't
Bossa
eat
Nova
McDonald's. I'm addicted to Bossa Nova.
The chicken protein plate.
Really? That's what you get? I get the skirt steak protein plate.
Or very similar.
Got it last night. Fried plantains, sweet potato fries.
It's an amazing thing.
Mixed vegetables.
Any sauce?
No.
Damn. Next time you got to think about
it. It comes with that salt. Yo, you got to go to Benachi
Bapi, some shit. The hibachi shit is so good,
bro. The truck
or
the actual restaurant?
I fuck with them heavy. The truck. It's really good.
You know, because there's like two different trucks, and Shoreline's always dissing the other truck. Because they fuck with one truck, and they don't fuck with the other truck.
Yeah, bro. I don't even know. I fuck with all trucks.
One time I went to that one, the Benny Hibachi truck, and like the girl who was working there was on the phone with some SoundCloud rapper. And she pointed it at me as soon as I walked up. She was like, "This kid wants you to fuck with his music." And I was just like, "Holy shit, I just wanted to get some food."
But you must get harassed all that whole day.
Yeah, but it
everywhere
was,
you are.
But it was kind of weird to
if it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I saw you on Melrose, I'd be like, "Yo, Adam, check out my music, bro."
Yeah.
But in a way that was like, "Yo, what's up, Adam?"
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'd
be looking you in your eyes when I shook your hand.
I mean, I do the same thing to other people too. If I see some fucking music, well, no, but I was in the gym the other day and Ludacris was there for like a whole week.
That's crazy.
Like every day for a week, Ludacris was in the same gym as me, and I didn't say shit to him because I was like, you know what? I respect the gym too much. I'm not saying shit.
Does he go hard in the gym?
Reasonably. It wasn't like
he's just on the elliptical. I mean, not benching 400, going crazy.
Yeah, he wasn't like trying to bench 400. He was doing like some more cardiovascular type stuff. Wasn't like,
I feel you.
But the other day I did see Casanova bench 315 pounds for like 3 reps, and I was pretty hyped on that.
If Casanova punched me in the face, I'd be broken.
If he punched me in the face, I feel like I might have to go to the hospital right away. Yeah,
I'd be for just air vac me out. You see,
I'd need a security guard if he's gonna punch me in the face.
We're gonna get run up on.
Anybody you want to shout out before we wrap this?
Yeah, shout out my stepdad. He passed away last night, actually.
Last night?
Yeah, Alexander Weil. He was a
holy shit
father figure to me for a long time, man. You know.
Wow, that's
all this
so
shit's
sad
for him now.
Sorry.
So, yeah, no. Didn't mean to drop it on you like that, but
no, that's serious.
Just shout out to that. That's the only thing I got to say, man.
Shit, R.I.P.
Yeah. Definitely.
Fuck. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, Teddy, and I will be keeping a close eye on the upcoming work.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
It's lit. No Jumper.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.